Have you ever felt like that? Feel like your life's in vain, feel discouraged? I had two people raise their hand. The rest of all y'all going straight to hell for lying. There's not a person in this building that hadn't felt that way at some point in time. You think, woe is me. Poor, pitiful me. Psalm 53 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they got a special day for you on the calendar. It's April Fool's Day, April 1st. I want you to know there is a God. He's alive. He's well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Regardless of how you feel. Regardless of if you feel like your life's in vain, because that's just a temporary emotion. If you can do what the Word of God says and bring captive every thought, you'll see that that thought is not from God. That's a thought from the tormentor that's come to torment you, that's to try to steal from you the peace of God, the hope of God, the love of God, the life in God. The power of God. Listen, Christian, we've got to get it into our hearts and into our spirit, not just our head. We've got to embrace the totality of who the God is that lives in us and who we are in Him. We've got to just quit struggling to, oh, if I can just get through another day. I want you to know, we're to get up every morning singing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a matter of choice. You can choose to be a sad sack and have a pity party, or you can choose to rise up and to be the person that God has ordained and called you to be. You can be a mighty warrior in the army of God. You can be a real threat to the devil. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference on your job and in your school. But you've got to get, as my drill sergeant told me in the Army, you got to get your mind right, boy. And I'm not trying to be comical. I'm just trying to say to the church, let this mind which is in Christ Jesus be in me also. Let me embrace the fact of not only who the God is in me, but who I am in Him. Boy, you missed a good chance to say amen. Because in Him, with Him in me, and me in Him, I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ. Through Christ. And I can do all things because of Him. Because of the Spirit of God that lives in me. Because He said in His Word, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive this mortal body, this flesh and blood body. He can make it alive. He can energize it. He can give us strength and power and purpose beyond our own, thank God. Look. You in and of yourself, me in and of myself, I am no threat to the devil. But me and God, you and God, oh, you're armed and dangerous. You are not only a threat to the kingdom of darkness, but you are the light of the world. You are the difference maker in your marriage. You are the difference maker in your family. Act like it. Dads, husbands, come on. You want to be a man? Then quit pussyfooting around with the devil in your house and get up and be the man of God that he's called you to be. I want you to know this. Anybody can go with the flow. Anybody can go with the flow. It takes a salmon to swim upstream. It takes a man to stand against the flow of what's popular. It takes a man to stand for principles and what's right. And to put his wife first, his children second. The job fits in down there somewhere. And the hobbies and activities and the recreation. You know, I share a story, and I'm going to share it again real quickly. There's a true story that ran in the Chicago Tribune some time ago. You've heard me share this. And there was a man there on the streets in the windy city of Chicago, and as he was walking along, the wind blew his hat off his head. And he began to pursue his hat, and without realizing it, he staggers out into the lanes of the oncoming traffic where he was struck by an automobile and killed. And the reporter writes in this story how he overheard a bystander in the crowd make this statement. Isn't it crazy how some people are willing to risk everything chasing nothing? What is it that you're chasing? What are you risking for what you're chasing? Are you risking a marriage because of a career? Are you risking your children because of your own self-pleasure? I assure you, there's a world of chaos and violence and gangbanging and drugs and sex and all that other stuff out there. They'll be there for them. They'll woo them in. They'll have time for them. Dads, I don't normally beat up on you like this, but I'm here to tell you, it's time. We men be men. And stand in our homes for what's right. And do what's right. And lead by example. And not just have the mentality of do what I say do. No, do what I do. As Paul wrote those words, follow me as I follow Christ. That ought to be your words to your children. Follow me as long as I'm doing right. When I cease to do right, you don't have to follow me. That'll help us as men be motivated to do what's right. The Bible says in Joel, I believe chapter 2, it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. That's the church. Sound an alarm in the church that all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, I'm not an alarmist and I'm not a scare tactic preacher. You know that if you've been around here any length of time. But I am a realist. And as the signs of the time, as the song Skeeter sings, clearly point to that we're living in the end times. Then live like it. Old brother Jack Moore, years ago, he used to say, work like you've got 1,000 years, but live like the Lord's coming today. If you knew that your life would be over by midnight tonight, would you continue to live and do things exactly like you're doing? Or are there some things that you would do differently? Be honest with yourself. It's gut check time. It's grade your own papers with your own spiritual pencil. Would you pass or would you fail? Look, regardless of what society would tell you, God's word tells you differently, and it's this, that one day we'll all give an account for ourselves. We can't blame it, our being like we are, on anyone else. We're all going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to hear him say one of two statements. That'll be the most impacting words that your ears will ever hear. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into a place that I've prepared for you. Or he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And I want you to know there are no appeal courts He's a righteous God. He judges in righteousness, and his verdict will be just and pure and final. For as a tree falls, so shall it lay. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Are we getting caught up in the temporal, menial things of life? Are we letting that dictate my response to society, to world, to life, to God, to the church, to my friends? Or am I in control of that? You see, one of the fruits of the Spirit, if I remember correctly, is self-control. How you doing in that department? I better go on. John, I'm going to read it out of a different Bible. Got bigger print. John chapter 7. I debated as to whether to do this or not. To do. It's easy for you to say. I'm normally a King James guy or a new King James. Brother Marvin and I was talking the other day about how there's some people who run you off if you read anything, read it out of anything other than the King James. But tonight you're just going to have to tolerate with me, because I'm going to read from the Message translation tonight. John chapter 7. I'm going to begin with the 37th verse. On the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says." He said this in regard to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were about to receive. The Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Those in the crowd who heard these words were saying, "This has to be the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." But others were saying, "The Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he? Don't the scriptures tell us that the Messiah comes from David's line and from Bethlehem, David's village?" So there was a split in the crowd over him. Some went so far as wanting to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him. That's when the temple police reported back to the high priest and the Pharisees, who demanded, "Why didn't you bring him with you?" The police answered, "Have you heard the way he talks? We've never heard anyone speak like this man." One of the other gospels says, "For his words have power." His words have authority. Verse 47, the Pharisees said, "Are you carried away like the rest of this rabble? You don't see any of the leaders believing in him, do you? Or any of the Pharisees? It's only this crowd, ignorant of God's law, that is taken in by him and damned." Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus earlier and was both a ruler and a Pharisee, spoke up. "Does our law decide about a man's guilt without first listening to him and finding out what he is doing?" But they cut him off. "Are you also campaigning for the Galilean? Examine the evidence. See if any prophet ever comes from Galilee." Then they all went to their own homes. I want to focus on, for just a moment, a passage that's in verse 46. And it says, "Have you heard the way he talks? We've never heard anyone speak like this man." I remember over in the Gospels when he got up in the temple and they handed him the book. He turned to Isaiah and he read those words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me And he begins to give a litany of things that he had been anointed to do. He closes the book and he sits down. And he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And he goes out and he begins to do many wonderful, wonderful, miraculous things. Now back to where I started off way while ago. We've got to remind ourselves and we've got to remind one another, because the Bible tells us to, you know, iron sharpens iron, and we're to spur one another on unto good works and love. We all get tired, depressed, weary. We all need to encourage one another, hold each other's hands up, because there's a point in time when you will need your hands held up. I'm finding I need mine held up more often than I used to. I need you. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need your strength. I need your encouragement. Because I want to tell you something. In spite of what some might see or say or think, because of the miraculous story that goes with how this place came about, in spite of all of that, and it's true, I want you to know this is not the Dennis Aaron Show. You start putting more emphasis on me than on God, he'll remove me. He'll just call me on home to heaven, and I'm fine with that. But y'all will be looking for a pastor. What I'm trying to say in that is, when we gather together, let's come to glorify Jesus, to worship him, to be in love with him, to proclaim who he is, why he's come, what he's done, what he's still wanting to do in us. God's not dead, he's alive. And he wants to show himself mighty. I love that verse, and I've quoted it probably at least 1,000 times in the 8 years we've been here. It says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, Brother Wayne. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth among his people. You're his people. I'm his people. He's looking for someone that will let him show himself mighty and strong on their behalf. Will you let him? See, he wants to show up and show out in your life, 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 in my life, in all of our lives. But we limit him. We restrict him. We don't have an expectation of him. We don't believe in him. We take him as a secondary thought or an afterthought when he wants to be first. He's the first thing. How'd that old song go, Sister Judy? The first thing I do every morning. The last thing I do every night. I pray and give thanks to my Lord for guiding me right. How often do you talk about Jesus? How often do you, better than that, talk to him? He's intimately interested in every detail of your life. Never before hath a man spake like this. Let's rehearse for just a moment. He speaks hope to the oppressed and the hopeless, because he's a God of hope. Hope thou in God, for there's nothing too hard or difficult for him. Shoot. I mean, he can sneeze with the blast of his nostrils. He destroys armies. It's his word. It's what's going to happen to Russia. So what's going to happen to Russia over there in the end time? Did you know that 5/6, and I got to be careful, I'll start chasing rabbits here, 5/6 of the Soviet army, Russian army, will be destroyed in one day. One day. Hopefully we're all out of here when that happens. Go read it for yourself. He's going to cause. Now, if you're sick, weak stomach, put your finger in your ears. He's going to cause them to get sick. They're going to have diarrhea so bad and going to be, read it, and they're going to be throwing up so bad they can't pick up their weapons and fight. That's the God I serve. So if you don't want to get to that, but he's a God of hope for the oppressed and the hopeless. He still speaks to the broken, to the sick, to the infirm. He speaks healing. He was whipped at that whipping post, and he took those stripes on his back for our healing. Those are not just songs that we sing. It's the proclamation of a fact that we're healed by the stripes that he bore on his back for our healing. He still speaks forgiveness to sinful man. He speaks forgiveness. He can speak it here tonight. To those in the household of faith, to those of us who are Christians, he speaks strength, wisdom, direction, peace. Man, there's a word right there that people are spending their fortunes trying to achieve peace. When there will be no peace until you know the Prince of Peace. And he gives you his peace, not as the world gives, but his peace he gives unto you. The kind of peace that you lay down on the ship in the middle of a storm and can sleep right through it. The kind of peace that he had when the disciples were in the ship in the storm and they were petrified. And Jesus comes walking on the very thing that they're scared of and would have passed them by. We talked about that a little bit last week. Because he was not worried that they were going to perish because they were doing what he'd told them to do. So he speaks peace. You need a little peace in your life? I was talking to Duke in my office this afternoon. Duke, I'm going to share your sermon. He was telling me how he'd gotten up this morning and he'd read his passages and then he just sat quietly before the Lord for about 30 minutes. And he said, when that 30 minutes was over, I got up and ready to come out here. God had not spoken anything to him. He'd not heard a word from God other than what he read in his scriptures. But he said, but you know what? I had such peace because I'd just been with him. Then don't you know scripture says that in his presence, there's fullness of joy, and at his feet, there's peace forevermore. Is your life chaotic? Do you need peace? How much time are you spending at his feet? Because that's where you get peace, is at his feet. Not in things and stuff, but real peace. The kind that don't flee when times are tough. Comes from him. Power. Oh man, the world loves power. Jesus gives it. Matthew 28, he says, all power. All power in heaven and earth is mine. And he gives it to us, his children, to live an overcoming life, to represent him. We're ambassadors of him. Do you not know that an ambassador of the United States, when they go to a foreign country, they carry with them the authority and the power to cut deals and to sign treaties and contracts? Same thing with us. As an ambassador of Christ, we have the authority and we have the power to put the devil in his place and to take the authority that he's given us and to walk in it. The power of God. Provisions. I I remember not too terribly long ago, I really needed God to show up and show out in my life in some financial areas. And guess what? He did. Where I least expected it and where I least expected it to come from, which is totally irrelevant. The fact is, he sent it. I remember one time, some folks in here remember my dad, before he got saved, he was a professional gambler. And he had a sister, Sybil. And she was going through some hard times. This is back, 60 years ago, probably. Daddy took her some money over there. And he said, "Sybil, if you don't mind having it, here's some of that old gambling money." And she said, "Well, the Lord sent it, if the devil did bring it." And she took it. And I want you to know, that's a fulfillment of the scripture that says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." See, she didn't have much to give, but what she had, she gave. She sowed. And it wasn't always money. It was her time. It was food and things that she would do. But you know, that when we give unto the Lord, God causes all men, saint and sinner, to give unto us. So don't worry about where it comes from. Just rejoice in the fact that Jesus sent it. Then he gives things that money can't buy. Things like love and encouragement and comfort. He gives us a promise in the time of loss of a loved one. He says, "We do not grieve as those who have no hope." We need to grieve. Grieving is healthy. But do your grieving knowing that this ain't the end of the story. There's hope. And knowing that the word says that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, there's something about when you're able to feel God's presence and his arm around you. How many of you have seen that painting where there's two sets of footprints and then there's only one set of footprints? Perfect picture. There's a time when we need the Lord to carry us. And he will. Remembering that he's still a God that speaks. He may speak a word to you. Now keep in mind that it'll never contradict his written word. He may speak a word to you. He may speak a word to you through his written word. He may speak a word to you through a dream or through a vision. He may speak a word to you through a message or a sermon that someone would preach. I don't know how he's going to speak. He's already spoken in some of the areas that I've talked about tonight. Our healing, our salvation, and all those things. Come on up, Nathaniel, I'm done. But some of you need to hear a word from God. You know, I talked to you last week. Kings chapter 7 starts out where remember this tremendous famine in the land? And Elijah, the prophet of God, had the word that, "Don't worry, tomorrow about this time, barley, wheat's going to sell for a shekel in the gate of the city." And then a man that was the king leaned on, kind of a big dog, he says, "If God were to make windows in heaven, how can this happen?" And Elijah said, "You'll see it, but you won't eat." Because he didn't believe. Tonight, you need to believe the things that God has said in his word pertaining to all of the topics that I talked about, and that was just a few. There's so many other things in there. His word is yea and amen. He said it. that settles it, whether you believe it or not. But if you want it to work in your life, and you want to be a recipient of it, you must believe it. Would you bow your heads as we close? And I'm going to ask, if you would, that if you, as best you can, tune everything else out. We'll be done in probably 2 or 3 minutes. If you look at your life, and if you go back to what I said a while ago, if you were to die by midnight tonight, where would you spend eternity? If you're hearing that answer, if you're honest with yourself, and that answer is either I'd be in hell or I don't know, you can take care of that right now. You say, Dennis, I'd like to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins. And I mean it. I want to become a new creature. I want to be different than the way that I am, and I can on my own. I need God. If that's you, could I see your hand? Anyone, anywhere, real quickly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly. This is your moment. This is your time. Thank you, ma'am. Maybe you're here tonight and you'll say, Dennis, thank you, sir. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Dennis, what you said about he speaks healing. I need healing in my body, in my relationships, in my marriage, or other things. If any of that is you, could I see your hand quickly? Slip it up, slip it back down. Yes, many of you all across the place. Yes. Maybe you need the Lord to speak, or you've heard those words spoken by the Lord tonight of peace. You need to receive that peace of God. Can I see your hand? Yes. Slip it up, slip it down. Yes. And there's a whole host of other things that, but you just say, Dennis, I need Jesus tonight. Can I see both of your hands? Yes. Yes. Look up here at me. For those of you that raised your hand for a moment ago, is to receive salvation, to give your life to Jesus, to embrace the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life. This is what the Word of God says. There's no magic formula. It's just receiving God's Word, God's way. And this is what he says, that if we believe Jesus is God's Son, he's God in flesh, that he came to earth because he loved us, and he loved us enough to die for us, stayed faithful to his mission, did not sin, was nailed to a cross, died. Easter Sunday morning, walks out of a grave, the keys of death, hell, and the grave in his hand, and that he's alive today. He's alive. So if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. So would you bow your heads and listen? I'll lead us in a prayer in case you don't know how to pray. It's you must ask and you must believe, and then you'll receive. It's important that you talk to God.